All right, ready to dive in. Today, we're looking at vector databases.
Ooh, vector databases.
Yeah, and I know it sounds kind of maybe a little intimidating, right?
It does.
Like something from Star Trek or something. But
right.
Trust me, this stuff is not only cool, but super important for where AI is headed.
Absolutely.
Especially with all the excitement around generative AI these days.
Yeah, and it makes sense, you know? Generative AI is all about creating things like text or images that seem like a human made them.
Right.
But the thing is, it needs to process a ton of data to do that.
Yeah.
And that's where these vector databases come in.
So, okay, help me out here.
Yeah.
For those of us who haven't spent, you know, all our time thinking about vector databases, how would you explain what they are? Like, imagine you had to explain it to, I don't know, my grandma.
Okay, I think I can do that.
Yeah.
Imagine you're searching for some information online, right?
Right.
But instead of just typing in keywords, you could search based on, like, the actual meaning of what you're looking for.
Oh, that's interesting.
That's what vector databases can do.
Right.
They store information as these things called vectors, which are basically, like, coordinates in space.
Okay.
That represent the meaning of the data.
So instead of, like, searching for, I don't know, best sci-fi movie,
right,
I could search for something that's more about, like, I want that space opera feel.
Yeah.
With, you know, epic battles and a little romance.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Vector databases, they get the connections between different ideas. So you can search based on, like, context.
Oh, they
And you end up with, like, really relevant results, even if it doesn't have the exact same keywords.
That is really cool.
Yeah.
Now, I've heard that choosing the right vector database can make a huge difference.
Oh, yeah.
Especially in how it performs, right?
Yeah. Performance is key, especially for things that, you know, need to be really fast and accurate.
Right.
Like, think about those personalized recommendations you get on, like, streaming platforms or, you know, facial recognition systems that are used for security.
Uh-huh.
Every millisecond matters.
Yeah, absolutely.
So today we're going to be comparing two of the big names in the vector database world.
Okay.
Shapelet's VectorDB and Weaviate.
Ooh, a head-to-head.
To see how they measure up.
So what's the battleground for this data duel then?
Well, we're going to be looking at a benchmark study that used a tool called VectorDBench.
Okay.
To basically put Shapelet's VectorDB and Weaviate head-to-head.
Right, yeah.
And to make things interesting, they used a huge data set of 1 million text embeddings.
Okay.
It's called the Cohere data set.
Cohere data set, right?
Yeah.
Like the sound of that. But
yeah.
Before we get into, you know, all the details of this benchmark, can you tell me what exactly are text embeddings?
Oh, yeah, sure.
And why is this particular data set a good choice for testing these databases?
So text embeddings are, well, they're like numerical representations of words or phrases that capture, you know, their meaning. So it's kind of like translating language into something computers can understand.
So it's like giving the computer a dictionary.
Yeah, kind of, but more nuanced.
Okay.
Like a dictionary that understands meaning.
Right, okay.
And the Cohere dataset is actually designed for natural language processing tasks, right?
Okay.
So it's a great benchmark for seeing how well vector databases handle, you know, the complexity of human language.
So it's like testing a chef with a really complicated recipe.
Yeah, exactly.
Instead of just being like, can you boil water?
Right, exactly.
Oh, cool.
We want to see how these databases do when they have to deal with the nuances and all the subtleties of how we speak.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
Okay, so what were the main events then in this data decathlon?
Ooh, I like that.
What specific metrics did they use to compare these vector databases?
Okay, so they focused on 4 key things: index building time, recall, latency, and maximum queries per second, or QPS.
Ooh, okay, so bringing back some memories of my data structures class in college.
Yeah.
But all jokes aside, can you break down what each of those means and why we should actually care about them?
Yeah, totally.
Yeah.
So first up is index building time.
Okay.
This is basically how long it takes to get the database, you know, ready to answer questions.
Okay.
So think of it like setting up a library, right?
Okay.
The faster you can organize all the books, the sooner you can start finding what you need.
Makes sense. And in the data world,
yeah,
I'm guessing faster is always better, right?
Yeah, pretty much. Especially when you're dealing with data that's like always changing and updating.
Right.
Having a quick index building time, that's crucial.
Okay, so what about recall?
Okay, recall measures how good the database is at, like, finding the most relevant results.
So is it like the difference between a search engine that gives you exactly what you're looking for
Yes.
versus one that just gives you like a ton of random stuff?
Exactly.
Okay.
High recall means you're more likely to find those, hidden gems
Right.
and less likely to miss important information.
Okay, all right, what about latency then?
Latency, that's all about speed,
Yeah.
like specifically the time it takes to get an answer.
Okay.
So low latency means a really smooth, responsive user experience,
Right.
whether you're, looking for a movie recommendation or waiting for a facial recognition system to like identify you.
I hate staring at those loading screens.
Right. Nobody does.
Yeah.
And then finally, we've got QPS.
Yes, the mysterious queries per second.
Queries per second.
Okay.
Think of it like a stress test for the database.
Oh.
It measures how many questions the database can handle all at the same time
Right.
without, crashing or slowing down.
Okay.
This is super important for applications where you have like tons of users searching at once,
Makes sense, yeah.
like a popular e-commerce site or a social media platform.
Right.
The database needs to be able to keep up with all that traffic.
It's got to keep up. Okay.
Yeah.
So we've got our four metrics:
Yes.
index building time, recall,
Yeah.
latency,
And QPS.
queries per second.
Queries per second. All right. And the tension is building.
I know, right?
Which database came out on top in this data showdown?
All right. So this is where it gets really interesting.
Okay.
The results were pretty clear.
Yeah.
Shapelets, VectorDB actually outperformed Widget on all four of those metrics.
Wow, a clean sweep.
Yeah.
That's impressive.
Pretty impressive.
Okay, so before we get into like the why behind Shapelet's victory,
Okay.
let's take a quick break.
Sounds good.
We'll be right back to break down those results
All right.
and figure out what it all means for the future of vector databases.
I'm excited.
Me too. Okay, we're back and ready to dig into these results from this vector database showdown.
I know, I'm still kind of surprised by that clean sweep by Shapelet's
Yeah, me
VectorDB.
too. It was pretty decisive.
Yeah.
What was the most impressive thing about Shapelet's performance for you?
You know, I gotta say, those recall numbers were really something.
Oh, yeah. Like Shapelet's was consistently hitting higher accuracy in those searches,
Right.
sometimes even getting close to like 100% recall.
Wow.
That's amazing, especially with how big and complex that Cohere data set is.
Right. Yeah, so it's like Shakelitz is really good at finding those hidden gems,
Yeah.
even in this massive amount of data.
It is. It's like it has this knack for it.
Yeah.
What do you think is behind that accuracy?
That's a good question.
Yeah.
Well, it seems like Shapelets is really good at understanding how language works.
Right.
Like it gets the relationships between different concepts.
Yeah.
It's not just matching keywords, it's understanding the meaning.
Exactly. And the intent behind what you're searching
Yeah.
for, that's what makes vector databases so powerful.
Right.
They go beyond just simple keyword matching.
Right.
And they get to a deeper level of meaning and context.
And when you pair that high recall that we saw
Yeah.
with Shapelets, the latency, you get a search that's not only accurate, but also super fast.
Exactly. The benchmark showed that Shapelet's had way faster response times,
Okay.
especially when it was handling lots of requests all at once.
Right.
That kind of speed, it can change the game for those real-time applications like
Yeah.
voice assistants or, those financial trading platforms where every millisecond counts.
Absolutely. Yeah, you can't be waiting around for the search results
Right.
when you need to make a split-second decision.
No, you can't.
All right, so speaking of handling a lot of data,
Yeah.
how did Shapelets do on that QPS test? The queries per second.
Oh, it really showed off on that one.
Right.
Like it proved that it can handle a huge volume of queries every second
Right.
without, any problems.
Yeah, so it doesn't get bogged down,
No, not at all.
even with all that traffic.
Yeah, this means it's really efficient with how it uses resources
Okay.
and it can keep up its performance even when things get busy.
That's essential, right? Like for those big social media platforms
Oh, absolutely.
or huge e-commerce sites, anything that's got a scale.
Definitely. It's like having a server that can juggle thousands of requests
Right.
without, missing a beat.
That's a great way to put it.
Yeah.
But, we got to remember, right? Benchmarks are just one piece of the puzzle.
Oh, for sure.
Yeah, these results definitely show what Shapelets is good at.
They do.
But choosing the right vector database,
Yeah.
it really depends on what your project needs.
Right. It's not a one-size-fits-all kind of thing.
Yeah, exactly. So What are some other things that someone might want to think about when they're trying to choose a vector database?
Well, there's a whole world beyond just those performance metrics.
Oh, okay.
You want to think about things like how easy it is to integrate the database into your existing systems,
Right.
the level of, community support and documentation that's out there, and of course, how much it's actually going to cost to use it.
Makes sense, yeah.
Yeah, and the specific features each database offers, that can play a big role too.
Right. Because some might have built-in tools for things like machine learning or natural language processing, while
Exactly.
others might be better suited for certain types of data, like images or audio.
Yeah, and you might need to think about security and privacy too.
Oh, it's especially if you're working with sensitive information.
Exactly. It's all about really understanding what you need
Right.
and finding the database that aligns with, what your project is trying to achieve.
So it's not just a pick one and you're done kind of thing.
Nope.
You got to do your research.
You got to do your homework.
This deep dive has definitely made me appreciate just how complex and how much potential there is with vector databases.
Me too.
But before we wrap things up, I'm curious, what do you think about the future of this technology? Like, what trends are you seeing?
Oh, that's a good question.
Yeah.
I think we're really just starting to see what vector databases can do.
Okay.
As AI keeps getting better, we're going to need smarter ways to manage and analyze all this data.
Right, it's just exploding.
Man, it's
And I bet vector databases are going to be a big part of that.
Oh, absolutely. We're already seeing them being used for so many things,
Yeah.
from personalized recommendations to like cutting-edge scientific
I can
research.
only imagine what's coming next.
Right. I think we can expect to see even more innovative applications pop up
Okay.
in areas like, drug discovery, fraud detection, even climate modeling.
Wow, that's amazing.
Yeah, it's pretty mind-blowing.
Vector databases have the potential to revolutionize so many different fields.
I think so too. And the coolest part is this technology, it's always evolving. We're
Right.
going to see even better algorithms, faster speeds, and smoother integration with other cutting-edge tech.
All right, so that's about all the time we have for today's deep dive into the world of vector databases.
Ah, already.
Yeah, but don't worry, we've got some great
I
resources
do.
if you want to keep exploring this stuff.
Oh, definitely.
So for anyone who's, totally hooked on vector databases now
Yeah.
and wants to learn more about Shapeless, VectorDB, and Weaviate,
Oh, yeah.
where should they go? Where can they find more info?
Well, both companies have like awesome resources online. You
Okay.
can find, detailed documentation,
I'd say,
tutorials,
right.
and even like open source code on their websites.
Very cool. Very cool.
Yeah, it's a good place to start.
And of course, we'll link to all that good stuff in the show notes for this episode.
Right.
Because I have a feeling that after this deep dive, some of our listeners are going to want to get their hands dirty. Yeah, try out these databases for
I
themselves.
wouldn't be surprised.
Yeah.
It's a really cool area, with a lot of room to experiment and try new things.
Right, exactly.
Who knows? Maybe one of our listeners will become like the next vector database
That's
superstar.
what we like to hear,
Right.
inspiring the next generation of data innovators.
That's right.
But, even if you're not planning to build your own vector database from scratch,
Right.
I think understanding this technology is becoming like essential for anyone working with data, especially in this age of AI.
Oh, I totally agree.
It's everywhere.
It is.
So, as we wrap up this deep dive, what are some of the key takeaways that you hope our listeners, walk away with today?
That's a good question.
Yeah.
I think the biggest one is that vector databases, they're shifting things. We're moving beyond just basic keyword matching
Right.
to a world where we can search and analyze data based on like the actual meaning and the context of what we're looking for.
That's a good point.
This is going to open up so many possibilities for AI,
Yeah.
like applications that can truly understand what we need
Right.
and then respond to us in a way that's, way more sophisticated than before.
And it seems like picking the right vector database for your needs
Yeah.
is really important.
Oh, for sure.
Obviously, performance matters, but it's not the only thing to think about, right?
Right. There's more to it than that.
Yeah, you've got to consider things like how easy it is to integrate with your systems, the support you get from the community,
Yeah.
the documentation, the cost, all those things factor in.
Yeah. It's like choosing the right tool for the job.
Right.
You wouldn't use a hammer to like screw in a light bulb.
No, definitely not.
You got to think about what you're trying to do
Right.
and pick the vector database that's best for that specific task.
Okay, that is some great advice.
Well, I try.
So listeners, go out there, explore the world of vector databases.
Do it.
Check out those resources we linked in the show notes.
Yeah, play around with them.
Experiment. Try things out.
Have fun.
Who knows? Maybe you'll be the one to make the next big breakthrough in this field.
Could be you.
All right, that's it for today's deep dive into vector databases.
Thanks for having me.
Thanks for joining us.
It was fun.
Until next time, keep exploring, keep learning.
Can keep pushing those boundaries.
We'll see you out there.